Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
Sometimes when I listen to that intro, I like picture Jeff like with the headphones and the mic, like the you're younger than me, that, you know, like Johnny Carson, here's Johnny, and it's like, here's Keisha and Heather. But you're too young to know that.
I feel like I belong here when he says my name like that. I feel like I belong here. What about you?
And whenever we hear that music, because we, with Jeff's help, created a place where you and I feel a sense of belonging. And so that's actually what we wanted to talk about this episode, was how do people create a sense of belonging? For the majority of time that I've been in the field, which we've talked about in other episodes, is a staggering 3 decades. I'm old, we get it. So moving on from that, the value of creating a sense of belonging for children, I've really only known about that importance for probably the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, did we do things to create an environment where the children felt welcome? I mean, we did things, yes. I mean, you hung up posters and you did take photos of the children and you had them around and you had the name on the children's locker and things like that. But it wasn't as meaningful or as deep to actually think about how are you creating a space where families feel a sense of belonging, children feel a sense of it, and they actually contribute to making that space their own. What in your space actually says, I belong here, and this space is also my space too. So it's so much deeper than just putting up, you know, some attractive pictures here or there and putting the names on the lockers or having toothbrushes to have their children's names, whatever the case may be. It's more than that. How can you make that space belong? And you do also have to have a sense of belonging for the teachers themselves as well. So what are some things that you do in your program to demonstrate a sense of belonging for the children and the families?
I think one of the things that we do at both the schools is have a very inviting area immediately as you walk in. It's kind of connected with the book area. It's a transition area. It's in the classroom, but it's close enough to the front of the classroom that parents understand that they're welcome into that space. Right when they walk in, they feel there's a couch there, there's lots of pillows, there are usually we have fresh flowers or plants, and there's books and pillows, and just a cozy place where a parent can transition a child into the school day or where other parents can gather and chat. And I think from the second that you walk up to the school, the family should feel welcome, all of them, from the parent and the child. And when they open the door, they shouldn't smell bleach. They should smell, I don't know. I think all schools have their own little smell, but it needs to be something warm and something that kind of reminds them of a feeling of home. Because when you feel that feeling of home, you feel like a sense of ease, a sense that you belong there. Another thing that we do is everyone who walks through the door, we're talking to them. And it's not, hello, how are you? It's not the same thing repeated over and over. Genuine conversations. We've built genuine relationships. We're genuinely interested and engaged in what they're telling us about their child, about their night, about their family. So I think walking into a situation where you feel like you know people and people care about you is immediately makes you feel like you belong. So those are 2 things that we do immediately when families walk in the door.
Well, building a sense of connection does a lot to create that sense of belonging. And you can build a sense of connection through all of the senses. So we are very fortunate enough in that our kitchen is right beside our front door. So our front entrance, we used to, I know you know this from years ago, we used to have, because we've talked about this a little bit here and there, but I think more online, have all of our diplomas and our degrees hanging up. And we had had all these awards and certificates we had received in the community for making charitable donations and those kinds of things. And I thought that those things said to the parent, we are trained and we care about our community. And, you know, what it really was, it was very busy. And when you walked in, I mean, we were full for years, so obviously parents didn't mind it. But what did it do to build a genuine, authentic sense of connection? Mm-hmm. So when I said five senses, I mean, certainly when you walk in and you smell food cooking or you smell things baking, that can easily trigger memories from your own childhood. Because when you think about how the staff arrive, they might be like maybe they missed their bus or they're rushing or they didn't sleep well or whatever. How did the parents arrive? Well, maybe the parents could hardly get the child out the door that morning. And the child, you know, really, really wanted to bring that, I don't know, My Little Pony or whatever it was, and there was a big battle, and the child maybe shows up with one shoe, and one shoe's in the parent's hand. So something in that front area that lets them feel an instant sort of, whew, we're here.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about couches, we have benches, and then we have couches in the classroom now as well, but we also have a fountain. Because I know that at Bev Center, she has a pond when you first go in, and there was no way to have a pond. But it was nice, because, I mean, you know, these are things that make you feel grounded. So there was a huge learning curve, because initially children were, they were never leaving the front entrance. They wanted to stick their hands in the fountain. But once everybody got used to it, it's soothing. It's another thing. It's you're hearing it with your ears. You're smelling the stuff in the kitchen. And then we use some really nice furniture that doesn't look like classroom furniture, you know, like all the educational supply catalogs with all their shelves and their, you know, get the furniture from somewhere else, because then it feels like a sense of home. And it goes that extra step to build a sense of connection. I mean, I can actually tell you that there's parents who've said, you know, where did you get this? I love this. And you see them and they were actually rubbing their hand across the wood of something and saying, I love this. Oh, this reminds me of my grandmother had a shelf just like this. And all those things go. Everything triggers memories and triggers reminiscing for them to make them feel connected to the center and to the community that you are creating. So those certificates on the walls that said, oh, you know, we had bowl-a-thons and we raised money for the hospital here in Halifax, whatever, whatever, which is all important, valuable stuff. But that was showing care for community outside the center when you have to be building community within.
Inside the center.
You can still take care of the community outside, but you're making a community inside. So now for yourself, you've been creating, with your new location, you've been working hard at developing means to trigger belonging in an additional environment. And then I noticed from the things I've seen you doing as you're developing this whole new area for families, that you're almost, you know, building connections between both of your programs. And certainly you're very close by, geographically speaking, but having that sense of connection between your programs is huge. I know there's many programs here in Nova Scotia where they have lots of different sites, and there's little to no connection between the sites.
That's a big deal for me, and I actually was hashing it out with a couple of my colleagues that I don't... I call them colleagues because we discuss a lot and we reflect a lot together. We don't actually work together. But discussing with them the stress I'm feeling over deciding if I'm going to have two separate parent Facebook pages or one parent Facebook page for both the schools. And there are pros and cons to both, but one of the big reasons why I'd like to have it is because I want that connection. I want that sense of belonging for everyone. I want, when we're doing a community event together, that both schools mesh as one. I want the families from both schools to know the names of all the children. I don't want a separation. I don't want, oh, they go to Discovery too. So I think having that page, because the private Facebook page is, to me, that's one of the wisest things that I've done. And I know that if I didn't do that, our families would not have the connection that they have. So I think it's important to have those connections within your school, but I think it's tenfold when the families even connect outside of the school. So where I'm at now, there's been a bunch of development. So there's a lot of new houses and a lot of new families. So there are people coming from all over the place. I mean, Hawaii, from there's one from the Netherlands, Germany, everywhere. People are coming from everywhere. And they're all coming to this one space, and a lot of them are new to town. And then we have some people who've been there forever. And it's so cool to see people who have met their best friends here at Discovery. And we had a family this summer go on vacation together. I mean, these connections go deeper than our walls. At least that's what I'm hoping for. I want them to go deeper than our walls at Discovery and become that village that the child needs. Total, you know, all the way around. And
while
that brings me to is...
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, what that brings me to is when I have all these families from all these different places, another important part of belonging would be to have things in that classroom that look like these children, that feel like these children. If I am a child who speaks a certain language, I want to have some things, and I want the teachers to learn some of that language so I can feel like I belong, so that I can be comfortable. I want, if there are certain traditions and certain cultures, our staff needs to know that, and we need to respect that. So I think the sense of belonging goes deeper when it comes to, if I walk into a room and all, I'm going to use me because I'm an African-American person, I'm a black lady. If I'm a black child and I walk into a room, I know, oh my gosh,
I didn't know you were black. Sorry.
And all of the dolls, none of them look like me, or none of the characters in the books look like me, or there's no paint that I can color my skin color with, that's a problem. So we need, and it doesn't even just go for African-American children. It goes for Hispanic children. It goes for Asian children. It goes for a white child from Hawaii. And he's white. His mother's from Hawaii, but she's not from Hawaiian descent, but that's where she grew up. There needs to be things in that environment that matches their culture. There needs to be things in that environment, even if the things have to come from their family's house. Another thing
For people listening, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I can't hold you back anymore. For people listening, it is so important to emphasize that, and I know you do it the right way. I know that. But people who are listening, sometimes what they hear in that is they might think, okay, so I don't have enough cultural representation in my program. And that could certainly be preventing a sense of belonging developing. And so they might then decide, okay, so, you know, I need some wooden shoes because in Holland they have wooden shoes. And I need some, you know, or some coloring books with children, you know, with the different outfits and things like that. Those aren't things that are everyday. I mean, when you go to Holland and you walk around Holland,
you don't see people walking
shoes every day. Exactly. So you have to, the ways to connect with other people's cultures and to respect other people's cultures have to be genuine, deep, and meaningful. So these things have to be thoughtfully planned out and well-intentioned.
And
absolutely. I mean, you can have parents come in, and you can invite them to come in to cook with the children. And you can, putting photos up of that child, celebrate, you know, rather than, I mean, years ago when you'd, at Christmas time, if you had Christmas decorations out or things like that, and you used to actually put out a dreidel, right? You know, you had your sign that said Happy Hanukkah or whatever. I mean, we haven't done anything like that in our program for eons, but we did do it when it would be far more meaningful for Josh's mom and dad to come in and actually talk to us about it. And for us to hang on the wall a picture of Josh and his family lighting their menorah. And bring in that menorah and let the children touch it and hold it. So actually, sort of, you're actually like, as opposed to just hanging things on the wall that aren't
aren't making the connections. I'm thinking, because you and I sometimes we talk about analogies, I'm thinking of like you're weaving a tapestry, right? And you have to make decisions about what thread you are using to put together to make this beautiful tapestry that everyone enjoys looking at and experiencing and touching. You have to create it together, and mm-hmm. everyone has to feel a sense of belonging with it. So I love that you gave the example about, you know, children should hear the language spoken. Well, my fear then is, you know, I would hate it for myself verbally to pronounce something the wrong way and mortally offend someone, because that would happen. When you said you wanted to see black dolls, I thought, oh, well, I need to see overweight white Canadian dolls. I'm going to play in the environment.
Well, there. Something that we did at one of my old centers that I just shook my head at, but it was an accreditation thing, is they were frantically for accreditation, and this to me is so surface and meaningless, but they were for pictures of magazines of children with glasses, Asian children, and they were like, okay, we have 3 Asian children. Like, it was this whole circle of people cutting out pictures from magazines so that they could meet their quota of each different type of family and make a collage and put it in the classroom. And it was just like, oh, we did it, it's done, it's stuck up. Oh, check that box off. And like you just said, that's not meaningful. That's not going to make anybody feel like they belong. So I'm glad that you did say that. One of the other ways that I think is great to incorporate families and make the family as a whole feel like they belong, because I think it's important for the children to see that the school and their family is a team, you know? One of our new children today, it was so cute and so comical, but he has this, he's brand new, and he's never been in the program ever, and he's Spanish-speaking, but he speaks, I found him to know a lot of English, so he didn't have any trouble with communicating with me at all today. But I could tell he had to use the bathroom, and he was doing a dance all morning, doing a dance, and every time I asked him to use the bathroom, he would say, no, I pee in Tacoma, and he lives in an area called Tacoma Park. So I said, okay, maybe later, I'll leave him alone, because he was getting pretty upset, and said, I pee in Tacoma. So later, it was lunchtime. We didn't have a lunch. No, I eat in Tacoma. Okay, so I did convince him to eat a bit. And then, same thing for nap time. No, I sleep in Tacoma. And it wasn't until I convinced him that Tacoma is home, and you have to eat breakfast at Tacoma, and you eat dinner at Tacoma, but would you like to eat lunch at Discovery? And I started to make those connections. You do this at home, and sometimes you do this at school also. And he started to say what he did at school that he also did at home. So I think making those connections for children, it definitely made him, I can see that it made him think, and it made him feel enough like it was okay to eat his food, and enough like it was okay to take a nap, and enough like it was okay to use the bathroom. So I think when we draw those clear lines for children and start making those connections, having family events, we're having our fall festival, but I can even go back to last week. We had a carnival, and Heather, it was so awesome. We just set up a booth, and we had some Discovery kind of art, you know, crazy, wild, fun art going on. And there were, it was just like a lawn of Discovery's family just hanging out, you know, just sitting on the ground, eating hot dogs from the vendor, chatting. It was new families, families that have graduated, current families, everybody just hanging out. And it was so beautiful. It was so much fun, and it just, I mean, even talking about it makes me want to cry, because that just, that sense of community and belonging was, I mean, was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
On the 19th of this month, it's our big celebration for 20 years, and so currently we're reaching out to all the families from 20 years, and so for me, it's overwhelming. And it's daunting, and it's stressful, and it's expensive, because we're going to have activities that are going to cover, you know, we want the infants right up to the
the kids who are like 23 and 24 now, we want
wow.
everybody to be able to play. And so we're not in no way, shape, or form are we shirking a budget on this one. We're going crazy. And for God's sakes, pray for good weather. But the thing that excites me the most, the very, very most, was one of the team was suggesting having a photo booth, right? Because that's very popular where you're at right now. But anyway, I said, you know what I would love would be some kind of backdrop that has our things about our program. And then, because you know darn well that the kids that are coming back to us, whether they're teenagers or they're 20, young adults, or they're just, you know, junior high or elementary, whatever they are, they're going to seek out their favorite teacher. And we're having a place for them to write down their favorite memories. And, of course, the other thing they're all going to say is, oh, this hill used to be so big. I remember this hill was so big. Why is this hill so small? It's like, hello, you're the
Has the hill been there forever?
Yes, the hill has been there forever. So the thing that really excites me when you're talking about how beautiful that experience was for you guys is when I think of, like, the staff had talked about, because we're renting all these activities, right? We're having an obstacle course for the older people, and oh my God, we're even having these things called toilet racers, and you'll just have to stay tuned and watch our Facebook page to see what toilet racers are, because I'm not getting into it. But they're going to be cool and crazy and funny. So they talked about a dunk tank, and they said that the person who should be in the dunk tank would be me.
It's you. Yep.
And and you know what? In many, many, many ways, I'm like, no problem, happy to do it. Check your weight restriction. I'm getting on it. Throw the ball at it. I'm happy to do it. But I also know that since it's only so many hours long, I'm going to want to hug a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be there, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Heather, it's crazy, Heather, I missed you so much. I can't believe you're still here. I'll be like, oh my gosh, you're a nurse now? You used to climb our hill. You used to ride our tricycles. And I don't think I should be wet while I'm hugging all these people. It's going to be, so that backdrop is going to be for the place where the favorite teachers, we're not going to stop things from happening organically. We're not going to prevent people from taking pictures everywhere and hugging everywhere. But if they want to go stand there to take that special photo, that's fine too. But having those clipboards for them to write down their favorite memories and letting them touch everything and explore everything and have all the different things that, you know, if one child's favorite thing was goop, and all of those things speak to that sense of belonging, just like you were talking about with your carnival that you had. Because you can have an event for the neighborhood or the community, and if the connections aren't real and genuine and meaningful, you see the difference. You see the difference. You feel the difference, and there isn't continuity. There isn't that same experience. I mean, if you want families that are going to then, when they're older, bring their kids back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We haven't.
One of the children said that when he graduated. He said, "When I get old, I want my kids to come here." And then I cried.
Right.
And then I cried.
And those are the programs that make the differences, and those are the programs that children need. And so that's why we had an episode about belonging. Exactly. Now I'm going to have to go to Facebook after we get off recording and look at your pictures from your event. And you can look at mine in a couple weeks. Thank you for talking about belonging, and thanks everybody for listening about belonging.
Thank you guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Are you itching to connect with Heather or Keisha? You can find them at the Child Care and Bar and Grill Facebook page or at playvolution.com. That's P-L-A-Y volution.com in the forum section under podcasts. Drop them a note. They're hoping to hear from you.